Gracious God, may the words that I share today come from my heart, come from the scriptures, be truthful and full of love, be received by all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love that opening hymn, O love, how deep, how broad, and how high. Great way to describe love. As you may have noticed, we had an epistle read today as part of the readings for the day. I'd asked Reverend Mariana if we could add this for a few different reasons. So I want to do a quick poll. How many of you recognize this scripture? And it's used quite a bit at weddings and at funerals. It's a wonderful, beautiful scripture. I was going to say, I have a little note in here, read it one more time, but I'm not going to read it, because Meredith did such a wonderful job of reading it for us. So it was wonderful, and thank you very much for that wonderful reading. A few weeks ago, I was on a retreat for all those that are in the ordination process, and Bishop Gibbs was preaching on love, and he commented on how too often the word love is used. We use it all the time. I might say, I love Charlie's Restaurant, or I love reading books by Mitch Albom. I love the color red. I really don't love American Idol, but you get the idea. I love walking the woods or whatever, but how many times and how many different ways can you use that term love? But what is the real, true meaning of a true, deep love? So just for a moment, I want to talk about one section of our prayer book very quickly, and it's called About Our Faith. It talks about our faith, or we call it the Catechism. It's on page 845, and sometimes if you get a chance, if you go through it, it's really an outline of our faith, and it's wonderful. But there's one part in there without anybody looking at it, and I'm going to actually read it to you, because I asked this morning and everybody got the answer right. So today I'm actually going to read it myself. Who are the ministers of the church? The ministers of the church are the laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. And I think it's so important and interesting that it starts out with the laity, because the laity is such a very important part of the base and functioning of our church. And you know what? I really do like Paul. I just love reading his scriptures. And I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here. And I'm going to say that Paul sort of met all of those mysteries. Paul carried out his calling from God in the form of lay ministry and did so much. Paul saw the importance of service to others as a deacon does. Paul certainly was a teacher and pastor for the people of the church, a priest. And finally, he was a great leader and tried to lead so much those people in the higher positions of the church. For now, there is faith, hope, and love. That being said, Lewis F. Galloway, in Feasting on the Word, has some wonderful words to say. Galloway said, "These words come to life when one remembers they arose out of a pastoral crisis in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian Christians are abusing their freedom, they're refusing to share, they're scorning their spiritual gifts of their neighbors, and they're boasting about their own gifts, all while trying to seek recognition for themselves and jockeying for greater positions in the church. The ability to prophesy will stop, languages will no longer be spoken, things will change. We grow up and we think as adults, yet how much wiser are we? Right now, we see God in our imaginations, but we will sometimes see God face to face. Right now, we do not know everything, but when we do meet God, we will understand just as God understands now." Paul wants to stress to those in Corinth that ourselves today need to practice our gifts with love. Paul tells his readers, "Love is kind and patient, not jealous, boastful, or rude." He knows what he's dealing with in Corinth, with the church which is going in the wrong direction. Love rejoices in truth. Love does not rejoice in evil. Love is supportive, not failing. Love is loyal and trusting of others. Paul makes one very direct and simple command: practice love. As we read in Matthew 22, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second This is the first and greatest command, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to talk about love deeper than the simple word we sometimes use so lightly. To have true happiness, we need to have two special gifts, the gift to forgive and then to love. I think it's almost impossible to have true happiness if we cannot forgive others, and I also think it hard to have true love if we have any harbor of ill thoughts or feelings of someone or something. Happiness is a result of the two. Paul is talking about agape, the Greek word for love that embodies the sacrificing that God had for humankind, the love he sacrificed for us in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This agape love is not seeking good for oneself, rather the good for others. That is the love that Paul wants the Corinthians to have. As Paul said, love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. Love does not keep records of what others do wrong. Paul defines what love is and also what love is not. And how beautiful is that? He takes away all those gray areas. Let's look at the church today and also look at the communities around us and further and further. We as a church today have a very broad and diverse theological viewpoint, many different groups, and many different ministries. Everything is good until the budgets may tighten or space may be taken away. Then some of those with different theologies or beliefs may not be quite so tolerant, or those doing ministry for others may become impatient with care receivers because they are not conforming to the caregiver's expectations. The well-meaning may think they know what is best for others. Do members of congregations involved become too engaged in their own mission and do not listen together and to allow the Holy Spirit to give direction? I think this was a great concern for Paul, as he had for those in Corinth, and we face the same dilemma in the church today. If we as a church do not do what we do in a true spirit of love, then all of our talk and sacrifice is for nothing. Our actions have to be backed in love. We are very blessed at St. Michael's that we do so much in love for others and not concerned about ourselves. Last week, when Carrie Lewis did her financial presentation, she opened with a beautiful slideshow showing the pictures of the loving people of our St. Michael's family, pictures showing us in word and in action, along with great music and great scriptures all put through there. That, I must say, was an act of practicing her ministry with love for all. I was thinking last week after the annual meeting about the concerns regarding the outreach budget. So much of what we do here in love at St. Michael's cannot be measured in dollars. Sure, the amount for the apportionment seems out of whack, and if you call it outreach, but the apportionment money can be called many different things. You can call it an administration fee. You can call it an evangelism fee. You can call it a form of income tax. But whatever we do call it, we must really remember first that when we send that money down to 4800 Woodward Avenue, it is used to support the ministries and the mission of the greater church, all in love. On budget paper, how do we put dollar values on all that we do with the Christmas gift exchange, the Crossroads soup kitchens and other soup kitchens, or about the folks that come to our clergy needing help? What is the value on those helping others in the thrift shop or at Habitat Builds? How do you put dollars on paper for those who sick, visit the sick and the lonely, or those who labor in the grounds about the church to show what a beautiful, welcoming place we are? Outreach is not measured in dollars. Our budget carries a very important asset, love and service. Yes, we must be thankful for the love we have as we help others to use our gifts and ministries, which are given to us in love from God. We must always remember it is not about us. It is all about allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us Love is not a spiritual gift, but the way God intends us to practice all of our gifts. Amen.